Welcome to Deacon Dialogues, bringing you a deacon's perspective on the world we live in and the Catholic faith we are called to. And now, here are your hosts, Deacon Rich Napoli and his wife, Janet.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Deacon Rich Napoli, and welcome to the show. Normally, I'd have my wife, Janet, here, but as you know, this is just before Christmas. It's the Friday before Christmas, and she is out doing all kinds of preparation work as we get ready for this wonderful holiday, both for family reasons. You know, of course, everyone's got family coming. We have ours coming. All the kids are coming home with their grandchildren as well, and they're going to be with us for a week. So we're really looking forward to it, but obviously it generates a lot of work, and Janet is out taking care of things. So she sends her regards. More importantly, this season is a time of preparation, and not just for the holidays and the festivities of family, but also for the arrival of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who comes December 25th in just two more days. And hopefully you've had this time of Advent to prepare and reflect and remind yourself of what this holiday is really all about, the true meaning of Christmas, as they say. So it's a wonderful time. It's an exciting time. It's a bit hectic, but we're happy to be coming to you this this afternoon on live radio. You know, as some of you know, in addition to being a deacon, I'm also a CEO. I run a software engineering company. And, you know, always are faced with and joyfully faced with the challenges and abilities to live my faith out in the workplace, not just, you know, at home, not just in the church on Sunday afternoons, but every day, and to put our faith into practice in every business, you know, dealing that we have. And it's something that I take for granted now, that, you know, it comes to me pretty naturally at this point. But I have to tell you, if you know my story, you know, there was a time when I was, you know, would not have thought of living out my faith in the workplace because I didn't have any faith. I was an atheist, as you know, for most of my life. And, you know, I always thought, you know, you love your family, but once you walked out the door, you put your game face on and you went out into the workplace and, you know, you fought the battle. And didn't really, you know, I thought there were like two different personas almost that you had to have, you know, persona in the workplace and a persona at home. And as I started to come into my faith, and frankly, due to this radio station, I learned about an organization called Legatus, which is an organization we're going to spend some time talking about today, an organization for Catholic business executives. And once I heard that this thing even existed, in fact, it was Dale Meyer, the founder of the station, owner of the station, that mentioned it to me. I said, I got to find out what that is. I got to join that group because I need to know what it means to be Catholic in the workplace. What does that look like? Because I certainly didn't have any role models. So fortunately, here today with us, we have some excellent role models and men that have been involved with Legatus in various ways over the years. And they're going to join us and talk about what Legatus is, how it works, why it's beneficial, not only for the members, but also for their staff and for their companies. So we have with us John Laviere. Am I saying that right, John, by the way?
La Riviere.
All right, I'll let you say it. La Riviere. All right, great. I didn't see the R in there. All right. Who is had been a long time involved with Legatus, was a director of Legatus in a number of areas in the Great Lakes region and the Northeast region. Originally grew up in Detroit, got his MBA from University of Detroit, and spent some time professionally working at AT&T and in the venture capital industry as well. But more recently, you know, coming sort of out of retirement, John, right, to get re-involved with Legatus and helping to grow that.
That's so, right, just this year.
So welcome to the show. We also have Jim Longan, who I've known Jim for many years because he and I were both on the board of the Philadelphia chapter of Legatus for several years together. Jim is a local boy. You grew up in the Midwest.
Cincinnati.
Right. Toledo, Detroit, high school in Geneva, Switzerland, which I'd love to find out more about. And then Villanova boy, where he met his wife, Anne, and went to the Army. Mm-hmm. And his business background was as a CEO of and founder of HQ.
HQ Business Centers.
Business Centers, which is like a Regis Center. In fact,
yes.
You sold it to Regis.
Correct.
And I'm in one of your old spaces, actually.
Okay.
So it's a great great business. But anyway, we're not really here to talk about the businesses that we represent, but the fact that all three of us have been in business and all three of us have been involved in Legata. So let's start with you, John. It's kind of a basic introduction. You know, what is Legatus? How did it get started? You know, and what's its purpose?
Sure. Thanks. Legatus is taken from the Latin word for ambassador. So Legatus is really the only organization in the world specifically designed for and by CEOs, presidents, managing directors, and partners.
Right.
And guess what? Spouses are full members. And that's very important to, of course, the spouses, because they can integrate
sure.
with their wife or husband, and they're bringing together business, faith, and their personal lives.
Right, right. It's a great concept, because you're right. It's not a, even though it's for businessmen, it's not for business purposes, right? It has no mission. It's not a networking mission. It's not a charity organization, right? It's there for the business leader and his spouse, and for them to come together, you know, as well in the context of the faith. So tell us a little bit more, you know, how it gets started. We're going to spend some time understanding more about what Legatus means and how it operates. But I just want to give people first a general introduction. You know, like, where did it come from? You know, why is it here?
Yes. So it was inspired by Pope John Paul II.
Okay.
And that was about 30 years ago. We'll be celebrating our 30th anniversary in May of this year. So our founder, Tom Monahan, perhaps you've heard of him.
I met him, yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Well, Tom is the former founder and owner of Domino's Pizza. And the Detroit Tigers. So this home for me. And Tom was inspired by the Holy Father some 30 years ago. And what was happening, that he was in Rome with a small group, and they were invited to come in a private interview with the Holy Father, preceded by Mass. And so they had this Mass, and then during the Mass, Tom is inspired. It's life-changing for him. It's like a bolt of lightning for him. And he, on the
was
way...
Was he an active Catholic before that? I mean, he was somewhat active,
yes,
right?
He was, but, you know, he had gone through this period where he had all the toys.
Yeah, I know. I've been to the car museum where some of his old Ferraris and stuff are. Yeah.
But he did get touched by the Holy Spirit, and certainly inspired by the Holy Father, to do something like young presidents.
Right.
He was about to exit young presidents at age 50.
Yep.
And so he was inspired to integrate the faith.
Maybe you want to just explain,
life.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
John,
sure.
Just explain what Young Presidents Organization is for those of our listeners and they may not be familiar with it.
Well, Young Presidents is a worldwide organization of presidents, chairmen, and that level, the C-level of executive life. And you can be a young president only up to a certain age, and that is age 50. And so he reached age 50, and he's about to exit. And like the Holy Spirit serendipity, he just, as he was exiting one thing, the Holy Spirit was calling him to this new thing,
right?
Which he called Legatus.
Right.
So that's the genesis of it. And they came back from that meeting with the Holy Father and called together some of his executive friends in the Ann Arbor, Detroit area. And he told them what he was inspired to do. And he said, great, Tom, but spouses need to be full members, and there'll be no solicitation of the membership, and don't hand out projects.
Right.
We're all so busy anyway.
Right.
We're all so much engaged in charitable things, and our work can be all-consuming.
Right.
It wants to take us 24/7,
right.
365. And so they started in Michigan, the first chapter. This was 1987. It chartered in 1988.
Okay.
And it was a huge chapter, bigger than we like them to be. But it kind of morphed into five chapters in the surrounding area. And that happened
in Detroit,
over the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Yeah, it's and then from there, it's spread out now. It's in multiple countries now, right?
Yes, we have approximately 5,000 members, a little more than that.
Wow.
100 chapters in all the major cities of the U.S. And we also have a chapter in Canada, two chapters, Vancouver and Toronto, and a chapter in Dublin, Ireland.
Dublin. Oh, I think we need a road trip, guys.
Really.
Love to go see that one. Okay, well, let's talk with Jim. I want to, you know, come to you a little bit. And as we mentioned before, you've been involved with the Legatus a number of years now. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what drew you into it and why was it important for you?
Why? I never was an atheist, but I was a compliant Catholic. Yeah. I went to Mass on Sundays. I got ashes on Ash Wednesday and so forth. But when I turned 50, I said, there's got to be more to life than just taking out the trash and going to work and paying bills. And I started searching at that time and found a retreat out at Malvern, went on a retreat, and still was looking for something. And Paul Henkels of Henkels and McCoy invited me to be his guest at a Legatus meeting. I went, and I was stunned. Wait a minute, you've got all these business leaders, these CEOs and this power in the room, but what do? You don't raise money for anything. You don't have any special cause. You don't this doesn't make sense.
Right.
And he said, Jim, we all have our own causes, and we all do our things, and we come together for some communities or some group support.
Yep.
For a nice, relaxing evening, what we in Legatus call our Catholic date night. And we just come to Mass, rosary or confessions before Mass for those who wish.
Right.
Then cocktails, an important part, and social.
Yep.
And then dinner and a great speaker, and we're done by 9:30.
Right, right. Yeah, the format, I think, is particularly compelling, because you're right, it is like a date night. I know Jan and I, when we first got involved with it, it was, I wouldn't say it was, imposed, but it's a set schedule. It's every Wednesday. At the time, it was every Wednesday or something,
yep.
Or first Tuesday of the month. I can't even remember the schedule anymore.
But
once a month, and, because you knew when it was going to be, you could set your schedule around it, and it was important enough that we both enjoyed going, and we both enjoyed going to Mass. And as you said, it's always a dinner at a nice place. And then a fantastic speaker that gave us, lots of material to talk about afterwards. So it was a perfect date night. And, it's one of those things, as you know, when you're a business leader, it's easy to, not schedule those things. We'll get to that. We'll go out sometime. And then it kind of just doesn't happen. But this is a self-imposed rigor that says, all right, every first Tuesday of the month or whatever, we're going out. And we got a lot of blessings from it.
John had made a comment about the spouses being equal members. And I'm glad he didn't say the wives, because we've got a number of, in the Philadelphia chapter, we've got several women
who are
the CEO.
Yep.
And their male spouses come and join us. But one of the things that's beautiful about the spouse being an equal member, I know in most situations, every successful CEO has a spouse who is running the house, running everything else, so that the CEO can focus on the financial aspects, but at the same time have that sounding board to bring the CEO back down,
back down to earth.
And make him realize it. The CEO is not as important as the CEO thinks he is.
That's true. Hey, I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown and WCLJ 1420 in Coatesville. You're listening to Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. And we have on the air today Jim Longan and John gosh, now I'm never going to say it right again, John.
think of the Riviera and just put a La before
La Riviera. All right, now, that's easy. Now I'll remember it. Thanks, John. Both involved with the organization called Legatus, which is an organization for Catholic business leaders, for them to come together in fellowship, but to also explore their faith and how to live their faith in the workplace. John, I want to ask you, you know, sometimes when I talk about Legatus to people, some people are very interested, but sometimes I get, you know, people saying, well, that's, you know, it sounds like a snooty elitist kind of a thing. And, you know, why is that relevant to me? I just work in a regular place. So why would I, you know, need to know about this? So what do you say to people in that kind of, that to help them understand the, sort of the importance of Legatus?
Sure. I should go back to Tom Monahan firstly.
Okay.
And so there you have an executive, chairman and founder of a firm, $2 billion, whatever it was. It's
yeah.
grown since.
Yeah.
So he's thinking, okay, I'll start this Catholic organization, but I want it to consist of or have members in it that are from the top echelon of business so that they can influence the business world and society.
Right.
And there'll be more, because they're influential in their own place. Now, in these other spaces, what can they do? Well, they can be very powerful.
Right.
So that's why he was looking at a certain level, executive level, of Catholic
right.
top business leaders.
Yeah.
So that's where he took it. And right now we have some 5,000, over
yeah.
5,000 members.
It's terrific.
And the thing about top business leadership and why we don't think it's elitist,
yeah,
it's like no more elitist than the Red Mass and all the lawyers and
yeah, right,
the
right.
Blue Mass with all the doctors. Peers need other peers to support them
support
in an
them,
effective
right.
way.
Yeah.
And when you're a CEO, literally you're tempted and you're thinking about this thing almost always.
Sure.
It likes to take over your life.
Right. right.
And there's another thing about it. It's pretty lonely at the top. And so it's good to have associations with people who've experienced the same frustrations of life, the
right.
same challenges of life,
right.
and need the same encouragement
right.
that other CEOs can bring you.
Yeah, that's what I tell people when they ask, you know, why should I care about Legatus? Is, you know, you want your boss to be a good Catholic leader, and it is lonely. He or she is lonely at the top and facing lots of challenges and temptations, and you want that person to have the support and strength to be able to live their Catholic values in the workplace, to make good, you know, hiring decisions and sometimes, you know, downsizing and firing decisions. How do you do that in a Catholic way? And I know when I came into the organization, that's what I was seeking. It's like, how do I not be a different person? You know, how do I live my faith universally, consistently throughout my life, not just put it on a shelf, put my morals on a shelf when I go into the front door of the office? And Legatus really, when I was surrounded by men like Jim and other Jim White and other guys, and really saw how comfortable they were, that the faith, as opposed to being something that was, you know, inhibiting their business decision, it was actually, you know, I don't want to say improving their decisions. And they embraced their faith because it gave them the strength to make the right decisions at the right time. And that was something that I really needed to see. And I think everybody needs to see their leader, their business executives, you know, with that kind of moral compass centered in the Catholic faith, grounded in Jesus Christ, so that they can, you know, business always, you're faced with tough decisions. Right. And there's a lot of ways you can make decisions. And there's only a few ways that are really consistent with what, you know, Jesus would have done. Right? So that's what I tell people with Legatus. It's just, you know, as you said, it's a place to come together, you know, peers, to share stories, hear from professionals in certain categories, right, to help you understand. So, you know, I remember, you know, shows, maybe I'll turn it back to you, John. Tell me some of the, you know, if I remember right, you know, when I was a program director, we had to put on different, you know, pick different topics to cover. There was like, you know, three sets of topics that we could cover, right?
Sure. Well, we seek balance with our programs. So we do about 12 programs a year. And then there's the national convention, of course, and then the pilgrimage. But as far as the monthly programs go, we try to balance faith with family and business ethics and critical issues of the day, cultural
right.
issues
right.
many times.
Right.
So that balance is critical.
Right.
And we also have topics that address family because spouses are full members, whether it's man or woman,
right.
as a spouse, we're going to be talking about those three things in general.
Right. Yeah, but, I can remember sessions about, you know, on the family side, you know, raising your kids in faith, challenges of your kids and walking away from the faith and what to do. I remember just even like end of life planning for yourself and for your parents. You know, what is the Catholic way? You know, everybody's going to die. You can't keep people alive forever. What's the morally acceptable way of dealing with end of life issues? Right? So it was very informative. You know, they're not technically, those aren't really business topics, but they are important topics that we all face that we need to be educated on.
And with Legatus, when a chapter reaches a certain size, we offer forums. Now, a forum is a group of men or a group of women. And it grows in relationship. Obviously, the longer we're together, the more trust is built. We don't just start off trusting, but we grow in trust.
Right.
And so all kinds of topics come up, business-related, family-related, say in a men's forum, which will happen when a certain chapter gets to a more robust size.
Right.
We charter with 20 member couples, but when we get to 40 member couples, 50 member couples, we can have some smaller groups.
Hmm.
And these small groups have members in them that mentor one another, which is so important for a CEO,
right.
So important for the spouse of a CEO as well.
John, I was in the forum in Philadelphia with the Philadelphia chapter, and there are 12 members in the forum, no two from the same industry. And what is discussed in the forum stays in the forum.
Yeah.
But I was at a threshold of should I sell my business or should I keep the business, and how do I go about it? And the guys in the room helped me significantly. But while not sharing anything specific that someone said, it was amazing that the bulk of our conversations were not on the business deal that got away or the sales manager who's not producing. Most of us were talking about how we wish we could be better husbands and better fathers for our kids. And we were struggling. Most of us were struggling with that.
Yeah.
And that tended to be one of the most common themes of our discussions.
Yeah, just how to strike that work-life balance in a faith context, right? Because being a business leader can pull you away pretty severely from your family if you let it. And you know, how do you balance that so that you're getting the time in prayer, you're getting the time with your family, and then you're getting time at work. Do you have something to say, John?
Well, along those lines, with the way the pressures are on CEOs, you need the mentoring, and you need, as you discussed or told us, Jim, the kind of help that you can get. The thing that I might want to add to that is that we've got, I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example when I didn't have a forum, and then afterwards. I wished that when one of my companies was in trouble and I needed to bring it down from 200 to 90 employees, very difficult. I felt so alone.
Yeah.
I felt like I didn't have anywhere to go with that. I had prayer time. I went to prayer. I would have enjoyed having someone like you in the room with me.
Sure.
Kind of guiding that.
Walk you through and say, here's what I did. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't work. Here's, you know. And the call to prayer on that, say, go, don't just make the decision, go pray on it. Yeah.
We had one situation where
I was going to ask you something.
I brought up a point, and we went around the room, and almost everyone was taking position A. And one person took position B, but his explanation was so compelling that B was my ultimate decision, and it was the right decision.
Right.
The easy way would have been A. But it's beyond the forum. You know, our monthly meetings, we just a couple months ago, we had a topic, Stump the Priests, where we brought in three priests, and everyone had to come up with questions to try and stump the priests.
Right.
And
right.
It was a very lively discussion. And then just this past month in the Bucks County chapter, we had a phenomenal speaker on the future of technology. and
yes,
opened our eyes on what's happening and what's coming down the pike in technology.
Yeah, and the moral implications of that technology, yeah. Right? That, I think that's the business I'm in, and you know, the technology innovations that we're building are phenomenal and they're impressive, but they have the potential to disrupt a lot of people's lives, so there's a moral obligation there, and that's a classic example of what Legatus would talk about, right? We'd have speakers come in and say, hey, look, guys, you're business leaders. You know, here's what's coming. Here's what you need to be aware of, you know, that some of your employees' jobs may be affected by this technology. What are we going to do? And he had some great insights, and I learned about the saint for businessmen. I didn't even know there was a saint.
Omobono.
Omobono. I didn't even know there was a saint for businessmen. But it goes back, I guess, to the 1400s or something when as trade was flourishing and the mm-hmm, Catholic Church was looking for a role model, and they picked St. Omobono, right? Let me just remind everybody again, you're listening to WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown and WCLJ 1420 in Coatesville. The show today is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli, joined here today by John LaRiviere and Jim Longan, and we're here to talk about this organization called Legatus, which has been around for about 30 years, started by Tom Monahan, the Domino Pizza King, and it is an organization for Catholic business leaders, typically CEOs, but not just CEOs, right, John? So maybe you want to tell us a little bit about some of the qualifications to join.
You bet. So it's chairman, president, CEO, managing partner or director,
right.
And business owners qualify of a business of a certain size.
Certain size, yep.
And so with a certain size is generally 40 employees, $6 million in revenue.
Okay.
However, if yours is an investment firm, it's 10 employees and $250 million under management.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's some of the criteria. That's the titles. That's the size of the company.
And the reason, for our listeners again, you know, because they, when you hear those titles, they sound like all like, billionaire type titles. And first of all, most of the people that I've ever met are just, managing companies much smaller than that, first of all.
Exactly.
And secondly, you have it at a certain level. I mean, I know this is Tom's initial vision, to have it at a certain level, not that you're trying to exclude people out, but that at a certain level, the challenges of that level are different and distinct from the challenges of other leadership levels within an organization.
Hence, the possibility for influencing society or the business environment is greater.
Right.
But Richard, should also be pointed out that you don't have to be at that size today.
Right.
If you qualified at any time in your career, in your business career, that qualifies you.
Right. You could be a retired.
We have a saying. Great point, Jim. We have a saying, once qualified for Legatus, always qualified. So you may have been the CEO of a sizable business 10 years ago, and now you're starting a new one.
Right.
And so you've only got 6 employees, and you're really on the ground floor. Again, always qualified once you're qualified.
Yeah. And, I just want to talk a little bit about, and talk to you, Jim, about some of the stories where Legatus has had an influence on you in the workplace. I'll tell you one that happened shortly after maybe about a year or two after I joined Legatus. I took over as the CEO of another similar company to what I have today. And I got in there, and we're a software engineering company. We build software. At the time, we're building websites and things like that. And I got in there, and one of our customers at the time was a porn site. We hosted a porn site. We built the site for them and we hosted it for them.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly. I looked at that and it was bringing in nice revenue too. It was a decent sized account. Unfortunately, from a technology standpoint, the porn industry has driven a lot of internet technology over the years. But I wasn't sure what to do. But Legatus, talking to the other guys, it became obvious what to do. It's like, I couldn't rip up the contract, but it was ending soon. And I just refused to renew it and just told these guys, look, you know, this is not something I want this company to be associated with. This is not, you know, it may be good business at a certain level, but it's not good business because it's gonna associate us with a kind of industry that we don't have any part of. And the owner of the company was the guy who did the deal originally, but he was also a Catholic man, and you know, was able to convince him that this is just not who we are and who we want to be. And so we wound the contract down and we shut the thing down. The guy went off to someplace else, I'm sure. But, you know, I'm not sure I would have had the grounding and the you know, encouragement from my peers to say, no, even though I think it was Jim White who gave me examples of so many examples of times when he made what looked like a bad business decision and ultimately turned out to be a great one because he stuck to his guns and he stuck to his morals and stuck to his values. And believe me, because we gave up that one, we freed up resources to go get, you know, a bunch of others that quickly replaced it. So that's an example I have. Jim, do you have examples in your life that were Legatus?
Well, personally, we had a situation after I joined Legatus. I was talking to people about the pro-life movement and learning about pro-life and the impact in insurance, in our health insurance plan. And in those days, I was able to bring in our health insurance advisor and our account manager, and I told him I didn't want to cover abortions or birth control pills. And he informed me that it would be a 10% premium, roughly 10% premium, because it's cheaper for the insurance companies to cover an abortion or birth control pills than it is to cover a live birth. But I said, okay, that to me was important, and I did it. And then one of my employees came screaming and yelling in the office because her birth control pills were no longer covered under her health plan. And she ranted and raved about me trying to ram my morals down her throat. And to my surprise, the other woman jumped in to, before I could even defend myself and argued, no, Jim's not ramming his morals down your throat. He's saying you can do it whatever you want. He's just not going to pay for it.
Right.
And so the other workers came to my support and my aid.
Nice.
And you know, from the top, the leadership has to inspire the people below.
Right.
And I think that everyone will follow a moral leader. People get very skeptical about the unsavory leader, the
right.
leader that they can't trust.
Right.
But our first, right after we joined Legatus, we went to the annual summit, which is like an annual convention. 3 days and great speakers. And one of the speakers was Bill Burley, who ran a major newspaper chain. And he explained that when he took over as CEO of the newspaper chain, that editors or that reporters had to report the facts, and the reader should not be able to identify which way the reporter feels. So they had to present both sides of every case, or they had to present the case in such a way that the reader could not tell whether they agreed or disagreed.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, if you don't do that, then you will be fired and you can reapply as an editor for the editorial board. But we have a lot of people who want to write opinions on the editorial board. And I was so impressed with that.
Right.
And then we were seated at a table with a man who was the vice chairman of Detroit Diesel, a Fortune 500 company. And I asked about vacations, and he said he can't afford to take vacations because his kids have handicaps, severe handicaps. And when I asked how many kids he had, he said about 35. And I discovered that he and his wife, just in the Detroit area, would buy homes, and they would hire a couple to be the parents for three or four handicapped kids in each home. And I asked him, what do you call this? And he said, we don't call it anything. It's just our kids. I went back to our hotel room that night feeling very small.
Yeah, well, you do get exposed to some, you know, fantastic men and women at Legatus. As John mentioned earlier, you know, Legatus is not an organization that does charity work itself, but we're all expected to be running, doing charitable work, you know, outside Legatus. And you meet these people and you see what they're doing and the charities that they formed and the way that they're, you know, again, driving their, you know, living their values out, not only in their professional life, but in their personal life as well. I know the Henkels were very involved in lots of charitable institutions, and it's just been a great witness to see those kind of men and women involved there. I want to, though, Jim, you had mentioned about the national show, the national events. I want to get John to describe a little bit about, so we have these local chapters, you know, that everybody meets once a month, but then we have, there's other events beyond just that, right, at the national
sure.
level?
Sure. We have a national convention, which we call the Summit. It occurs at the end of January or beginning of February. It's a three-day occasion for legates across the country and the world, including Dublin. They come in from Dublin, Toronto, Vancouver. Yeah. About 500-600 legates maybe at any given convention. We have prelates there. We have our national chaplain who comes every year. And we have the Archbishop of Los Angeles coming this January. And so it's a great opportunity for members to meet one another, greet one another, and become friends. And then to be associated with both the speakers that are coming in. They're phenomenal.
Phenomenal speakers.
Yeah. And, and the bishops, archbishops, and cardinals that grace us with their presence. It's a wonderful time. If you're a golfer, you'll be able to find your way out on the golf course.
Yep.
I think you've probably done that a few times,
Jim. Yes, and this year, Bing Crosby's son is playing with us.
Great.
I can remember the last, I think it was the last national one I went to before I started the seminary. That's why I sort of left Legatus, because just too much to deal with. But it was probably the end of 2004 or something. And the movie The Passion of the Christ was just about to open. It was about a week before it opened. And we were at the national convention. It was in Miami that time at in South Beach. And we got the chance to preview the preview showing of The Passion of the Christ about a week before. So we're all in this giant kind of auditorium. We're all watching this, at least it's my memory of it. We're all watching this, you know, movie on the big screen. You know, obviously very moving movie. We're all in sort of tears and physically moved by the whole movie. And then, you know, the lights come on and, you know, who comes strutting down the middle of the aisle but Jim Caviezel, the actor who played Christ, and looking very buff and tan and in a nice suit, and walks up and just, you know, then gave this incredibly impassioned speech about his Catholic faith and how it had been nourished and strengthened by actually doing the movie and the things that happened to him on the movie. I mean, he got hit by lightning on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, on and on, all the loneliness he felt on the cross, and he got whipped. He got, you know, he got some of the whips actually hitting his body. Anyway, I mean, those were just, you know, for me, it helped me enrich my faith going to that and hearing his story and his faith witness. And that's, I think, typical of all the speakers there, right? I mean, not only are they talking about important topics, but they're talking about how it affected their faith life, right, and what it meant for them and where they are now versus where they were. So it's a great vehicle for, you know, experiencing something like that at the national level.
Right, and the relationships that are forged there and in the local chapters are amazing. They have amazing durability. If you ask people, why do they stay? And some have stayed in Legatus. We've got members 20 years.
17 years.
17 years.
Longer.
Wow.
And they say it's because of the relationships that I've forged, and two, the spirituality is so critical. And they may not have joined Legatus because of the spirituality. They may have joined because Jim joined.
Right.
And they may have joined because, oh, this is looks like a good opportunity for me and my wife to do something together that's business related. Great.
Right. Right.
But the main reason is the relationships and the spirituality. Now, what does it encompass? Well, in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, you encompass many movements in the church.
Right.
And you'll find among Legatus members different kinds of spiritualities or movement. They're engaged in different movements, but they're all welcome. And when you come to our meeting, whatever is, I almost said kosher, to the Archdiocese, you'll find at Legatus.
Yeah.
So all the rubrics and everything is deeply Catholic. And we keep it that way. There are 22 rites in the church. We're very diverse,
right,
if you think
right.
about it. And sure. so is Legatus.
Sure. Yeah, I can remember, I think, as you said, coming into it, I was certainly intrigued by it, but didn't understand where it was going to take me. And I have to admit, I thought part of it would be, it'd be a good networking thing. I just saw so much and learned so much. I know, Jim, you mentioned in one story, and it was also our story. We started coming, and there was one or two times when you could bring your kids, actually. And our kids were young mm-hmm. teenagers, and we brought our kids in. And I'll never forget, maybe on the battleship New Jersey. And it was, we got there early, and there was prayer time and rosary time. And somebody asked us if we could lead the rosary. I had no idea how to say the rosary at that time. Even though I went to Catholic school as a boy, I never knew how to say the rosary. And felt kind of guilty about it. Mm-hmm. And we came up with some excuse why we couldn't do it. But then I was like, wow, I guess I really got to know this, because these people are really, doing this. And they seem to be, I'd never really done the rosary. So really it was Legatus that, inspired me to learn the rosary so that we could teach our children. And then a couple times later, then we go back. Who was that woman that talked about, chastity speaking?
Pam Stenzel.
And we've had all our kids for that one.
Yeah.
And she did a very impassioned thing. And then by that time, our kids knew how to say the rosary. So, people come, as you say, from all walks of life. Some are very strong Catholics. And then there are those that are just kind of curious, like I was. And maybe Jim at the time was like, I'll give this a shot. Let's see what it's all about. But when you see what's happened there, it kind of draws you in closer and closer and closer.
Now, for our new chapter members, we have a little sheet that outlines all the prayers of the rosary.
I saw that. you guys
so
are making it easy
now.
We
don't want anyone to be embarrassed. We do like to ask people to do a decade here and there or lead the rosary. So, but we help them with a little prompting.
I saw that. That's good, because it was kind of embarrassing for us. Like, gee, I guess we should have known that. But it also was a moment of, movement, right? Pushed us a little closer. But yeah, I saw the sheets, and that's great. Let's just remind our listeners again, you're listening to Holy Spirit Radio, WISP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Philadelphia, and WCLJ 1420 in Coatesville. And the show here today is Deacon Dialogues. I'm your host, Deacon Rich Napoli. My wife, Janet, who normally joins us, is out busy getting ready for the Christmas weekend coming up. I have here as my guest, John LaRiviere and Jim Longan, talking about the organization Legatus. Legatus, again, is a Catholic, an organization for Catholic business executives to help them develop their faith, and they can live out their faith in the workplace. So I wanted to, talk a little bit about how do you go about applying? How do you find out? So hopefully some of our listeners have heard, and again, for those that aren't, don't meet the qualification, don't think of it as some kind of a elitist thing, but it is definitely aimed at people that are at a senior level, because it is a little lonely at top, and your chance to influence things both positively and negatively is pretty large. So tell us a little bit about how, for those of our listeners who might be interested in learning about the Bucks County chapter, right? We just opened a Bucks County chapter a little while ago. Where would they go? How would they find out?
Sure. First of all, I wanted to compliment you. You couldn't pronounce my name at the beginning of the program. Now you're pronouncing it better than I do.
We have
a new chapter.
You gave me the right mnemonic to remember it.
We have a new chapter in Bucks County, and it's experiencing phenomenal growth. We already have, after a couple months, awareness, we always need to build awareness.
So
thank you for inviting us here. We'd like to build awareness of Legatus.
Sure.
But we have 17 member couples. We'll charter at 20 member couples, probably reach that number next month. Mm. And we'll be chartering in April, on April 6th of 2017. So, what do we do? What was your question? What do we do to expose Legatus to people?
How would they find out about it?
Sure. Great.
I say that to the end, but I figured in case people
sign off soon. First of all, we never start a chapter of Legatus without the bishops or the archbishops or cardinals' permission.
Right.
So there's our step number one.
Right.
And then we usually ask him, who would you like to see in Legatus in your diocese or archdiocese? And he may give you a few names. If he's new, he wouldn't know. but he may give you a whole list of names.
Right.
Maybe they'd be interested. So we would follow up. We will also do our homework in terms of digging into the records that we have available. We don't ask for church records.
Right.
We don't use church records.
Right.
So no one would turn over their parish list to us.
Right, of course.
What we would do is we go to the D&B list, or the comparable list, and they're out there. And so we look at those, and we would see if we could get a match. So we don't take the church's information, addresses, phone numbers, et cetera, but we would like a check mark. Does anyone in your parish recognize this person? So that's one way. Right. And it's more like mass marketing.
Yeah, it's a marketing technique.
You need to do it, but it's not where it's at with Legatus. Legatus is relationship marketing.
Right, right.
So generally you get this kernel of a group.
Yep.
And the chaplain and the archbishop appoints a chaplain for every new chapter.
Okay.
We ask the chaplain,
right,
who in your parish would you like to see benefit from Legatus?
Right.
And they'll generally say, talk to Joe or talk to Jim.
Right, right.
And we certainly want to follow up. And from there, once you get that nucleus, 3, 4, 5 CEOs, you can grow on a pretty good trajectory over the next several months. We like to charter within 6 months. Bucks County's way ahead of that.
Good. And, and our chaplain is, just remind people, Monsignor
Gentile.
Gentile. Yep.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Great
guy. Knows a lot of people and gives great homilies.
Yes.
See, that's another thing about the chapter. Every chapter has a chaplain.
Right.
Now, you can become your confessor. He can become your encourager. He brings forth, he breaks open the scripture for the members and the guests, and it's a great dynamic that bringing together the faith, family, and business.
Yep.
Rich, one thing that's interesting, being in Legatus in Philadelphia or in Bucks County allows my wife and me to also go to any other Legatus chapter.
If
so we snowbird to Florida, to the Naples area. So during January, February, and March, we attend their meetings.
Right.
And then when we come back, we come up here. But we've also had business leaders who travel, and when they Keith Fimian used to come up from the Northern Virginia chapter, and he decided to always come to Philadelphia on the night that we had a Legatus meeting, so that instead of sitting in his hotel room at night, he was able to come and attend a Legatus meeting in Philadelphia.
Sure. You know, I want to talk a little bit in the few minutes we have left. I'll give an example, Jim. I ask you for an example, too, we talked about how Legatus is for business leaders, Catholic business leaders, because they have a lot of impact in the workplace and setting the standards for that. I don't think I realized the impact until, I joined this company about 7 years ago, which is owned by some good Catholic men as well. And they asked me to come in and run it. And at that point, I was already into the diaconate program, right, and moving forward with that. So everyone knew, where my faith was, I guess. But I never brought it up. I never, I didn't think it. I guess I was still at that point, I was still thinking, well, it's a private matter. And, I don't need to share that with anybody. I don't want to offend anybody that's not Catholic or anything like that. And it was incredible how many employees and customers would come up to me and want to talk about faith because they knew I was a person of faith at that point. I had one woman, a dear woman, she was our marketing director at the time, and she was a fallen away Catholic that was sort of beginning her journey back, and we'd be working, and she'd just stop. She said, "Rich, can we take a God break?" She goes, "I have a bunch of questions for you." and we just start going out and asking questions because she wanted to learn. And then I had a customer not too long ago. We were having meetings down in Atlanta, and we're having this meeting, and long meeting, an hour and a half, 2 hour meeting. And we finished up the meeting. I shook his hand, And he goes, thanks for coming, Rich. You know, great meeting. And by the way, next time you come, I'd like to talk to you about the Catholic faith. And I'm like, what?
Wow.
I hadn't said a word. I hadn't said a word about
wow.
about the Catholic faith. But he, I guess, they looked up my bio online. I mean, it's on my LinkedIn profile down there, buried down pretty low.
Wonderful. Yeah.
But he found, and he was intrigued, and he wanted to learn more about it. And I see this all the time, especially in the South. It's not, in the Northeast, sometimes people don't openly talk about their faith as much, but down South, it's front and center, and they're delighted to talk about it. But I'm always amazed that, you know, again, this is why Legatus is there, because if you are in that leadership position, you are being watched constantly. People are looking for every, you know, little nuance or hint of which way is he going to go. And to be able to have this Legatus as an organization to help me do that and be, you know, be aware of that and know how to behave and how to act has been a great blessing in my life. So, Jim, you want to talk about, you know, the unseen influence sometimes you
yeah,
have?
Yeah, I had a situation where before I joined Legatus, I always had a Christmas tree in our reception area during Christmas. But after I joined Legatus, I decided to augment it with a nativity creche below the Christmas tree, under the tree. And I had several people come up to me and make comments about how glad they were to see that I was willing to put that out there. When I sold the company, unfortunately, the new owner came in and insisted that not only did the creche have to go, but even the Christmas tree,
wow.
and including nutcrackers that we had, because they considered nutcrackers to be
religious,
religious symbols.
Oh, my gosh.
Really, because it was typical of a Christmas season.
Yes.
And, I mean, they just went overboard. But my employees let me know how much they appreciated.
Yeah, and I think that's something that God has taught me, too, is that, you know, listen, I employ, you know, I'm an international organization. We have Hindus, we have Muslims, we have Jews, we have Christians, we have, you know, pretty much most of the major faiths in the world are working for me. And it's, you know, you do have to be sensitive to the fact that, okay, you know, not everyone has the same faith beliefs, or may, and then we have atheists as well. But what I'm always surprised, and what Legatus helped teach me, is that it's okay to be a person of faith. And you know, you're not imposing your faith on everyone, but you're letting people know it affects your life. It's a source of your decision making. And as you said, people respect that. People respect a person of values. They may not agree with all your values necessarily, but they respect that you are guided by a set of principles that is solid and not changing. And that gives them some confidence to know, all right, he's going to lead us, maybe not the same place I would go, but in a place that is a rational, reasonable, dignified place to drive the business.
And HR. They think that if your faith and your morals are straight, you're going to treat employees straight.
Right.
And they want to know that you're going to provide decent benefits and you're going to be compassionate.
Right.
And that you're going to also hire good people.
Right, right. And I think that's, one of the questions I typically ask when I hire people, because you can't really, legally, you can't ask people about their faith lives, right? But what I do say is, like, how do you feel about working for a person and a company that is very active in their faith? And that, you know, usually elicits one of two responses. It either gets them to squirm because they're not comfortable, and then now I, you know, and then not that that's a hiring decision, but it does make you realize that, okay, maybe this person's not going to be a good match, because if they're going to be so uncomfortable that they can't operate, it's going to be a challenge. But the other way around, a lot of times it'll trigger, oh, well, I'm involved in my church, I do this and that, and you get to see that they're regarded by a faith life as well. Go ahead, John.
If one of your listeners is interested in knowing more about
Legatus. Yes, that's just what I was going to ask you.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. They can go online, www.legatus, LEGATUS.org. I'll repeat that. Yeah. www.legatus, LEGATUS.org.
Right.
Or can I give them my email?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Your email, and it'll be fine.
Okay. My email, if you're interested, is J. La Riviere. That's J-L-A-R.
I'll help you pronounce that if you need to.
Thank you. JLARIVIERE at legatus.org.
Right.
And I'll take it from there. Just any questions, please send them or give them to me.
Right. So anyway, gentlemen, thank you for joining us today to talk about Legatus, the impact that it has, and the necessity for it for business leaders that want to live their Catholic life in the workplace as well as in their home and in their personal life. So it's been a great show, guys. It's been a great example of how the Catholic life is cut from a single cloth, right? It affects everything we do and everything we say, and it's not something you have to shy away from in the workplace. And this Legatus organization is just a great way to find that out. So thank you, gentlemen, for coming.
Thank you, Rich.
Great, thank you.
It's been a great show. And to all our listeners, wish you a very blessed Christmas and a very joyful New Year. We have a lot coming this New Year, and we look forward to many more shows in the near future. So God bless and have a great weekend. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Deacon Dialogues. We hope you will join us each month at this time, the fourth Friday at 4 p.m., or for the encore the following Sunday at 2 p.m.